Hello, my name is Randy Silva, and today I'll be reading from the December 5th issue of the Rochester Business Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Rooms with a View. Prive at the Metropolitan is Rochester's newest luxury venue, by Kevin Oklobzija. An exquisite luxury space for corporate retreats, elegant entertaining, or exclusive family getaways has come to downtown Rochester. Prive at the Metropolitan is the latest creation by Galena Development Corp and brings the city a chic venue for those who desire a posh and sophisticated experience. Boasting the highest residential and entertainment views in the city, Prive occupies 4,000 square feet on top of the 26th floor of the Metropolitan. There are 3 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, a vast living or entertainment space, and a hidden catering kitchen. The building, previously known as Lincoln First Tower and then Chase Tower, when commercial banks were the prime tenant, was purchased by Galena Development of 2015 and has been repurposed into a mix of residential, office, and retail space. Prive is the crowning jewel. While there are 3 penthouse apartments on the 26th floor, Galena set aside part of the prime top floor space for special use. It's the capstone to the project, a place to elevate Rochester, said Lauren Galena Payne, marketing director for Galena Development. We want to showcase our city in a way that isn't done. We continue to try and elevate the Rochester experience with what we do and how we do it. The intent behind the venue is to provide a reimagined feel of what it means to host or stay in Rochester, that such unique spaces aren't just found in New York City, Toronto, or Miami, Galena Payne said. We travel and we bring things back to Rochester that we want to see here, she said. We also want to continue to bring positivity to downtown. The Metropolitan is one of the city's major repurposing success stories, or 26 of them. Floors 17 through 26 are residential, and all 110 apartments are leased. The next availability is for February, but appointments for prospective tenants are already scheduled. People are selling houses and moving here. Young professionals are coming here that are used to living in big cities and want to be here, Galena Payne said. Just shy of 400 feet tall, the Met is the second tallest building in Rochester and looks down on, well, pretty much everything except Galena-owned Innovation Square, which has 30 floors and is around 440 feet tall. But the top floors of Innovation Square are commercial, so there are no higher views than Prive and the residential units on the Met's top few floors. On a sunny day, the Bristol Hills are visible to the south. To the west, planes can be seen landing and taking off from Frederick Douglass, Greater Rochester International Airport. To the north is Lake Ontario, and, on the clearest of clear days, hints of Toronto are visible. Directly below is the Genesee River. The build-out of Prive was completed in May, followed by a soft launch. The space has already hosted several dozen events. That includes a stay by Dallas Mavericks forward P.J. Washington and his family. His wife has ties to Rochester. Prive is ADA compliant and has a host of amenities, including a stove, refrigerator, and washer and dryer. Behind a pocket door bookshelf is the entryway to the catering kitchen. The venue can accommodate up to 50 dinner guests or up to 75 for a cocktail party or corporate retreat. Galena Development sees a variety of uses for the space, be it a special getaway, family gatherings such as weddings or reunions, for-profit corporate outings, dinner parties, or exclusive hosting of events. If somebody's hosting a wedding weekend, this can be a place for the after-party or wedding breakfast, Galena Payne said. The decor fits well with the purpose of the venue, as well as the history of the Lincoln First Tower, which opened in 1973. The building has a nod to a mid-century feel, Galena Payne said. We try to stay true to that with a little modern twist. This is a product we're really proud of. Causewave Community Partners marks 75 years of strengthening nonprofits, by Andrea Decker. Todd Butler believes that building a strong community starts with supporting those who serve it. It's important to recognize that all of our fortunes are intertwined, said Butler, president and CEO of Causewave Community Partners. Formerly known as the Ad Council of Rochester, Causewave has been helping nonprofits and community groups across Western New York and the Finger Lakes grow and thrive since 1950. This year, the organization celebrates 75 years of supporting nonprofits and community causes. Butler credits Causewave's longevity to its ability to stay nimble and responsive to changing community needs. While it's helped to be flexible, one thing has remained constant, Butler said. We have continued to amplify the impact of nonprofit organizations and community causes. Butler's connection to the organization runs deep. Before taking the helm 2 decades ago, he was both a client and a volunteer. That firsthand experience continues to shape his leadership today. Among Causeway's greatest strengths, Butler said, is its role as a capacity builder, helping nonprofits grow stronger and more sustainable through affordable support. From its popular coffee and conversation program to specialized training and fundraising, strategic planning and marketing, Causewave equips organizations with tools to do more good. Each year, the organization partners with roughly 200 nonprofits, offering resources to strengthen operations, fill short-term and long-term staffing needs, and provide insight on timely topics such as artificial intelligence. Over time, Causewave has evolved from a largely volunteer-driven model to one supported by a robust professional staff. Today, the organization employs 15 people while continuing to rely on a network of about 200 professional volunteers who share expertise in areas such as technology, finance, and fundraising. Katie Bowser, Senior Vice President and Director of Product and Delivery at ESL Federal Credit Union, serves as Chair of Causewave's Board of Directors. She said the organization's evolution is both inspiring and vital. We look forward to continuing this important work with our nonprofit partners, helping to build capacity and multiply impact, she said. That work is more critical than ever, Butler noted. Nonprofits are facing growing challenges, including changes in federal funding that could directly or indirectly affect local organizations. With community needs showing no sign of slowing, Causewave is collaborating with other local groups to find creative ways to strengthen the sector. That includes exploring fractional staffing solutions, sharing skilled professionals in areas such as marketing, human resources, and finance to help nonprofits cut costs and maintain effectiveness. The organization is also working closely with local legislators to advocate for additional support. Butler said businesses can play a vital role by encouraging employees to volunteer, providing corporate sponsorships, or making direct donations. With economic headwinds at the federal level, support from the for-profit community is needed now more than ever, he said. Butler added that while Rochester's philanthropic business and media communities have long been supportive, this milestone anniversary, coupled with the current state of affairs, offers a moment for reflection. Are we willing to do the work that allows everyone to benefit from the nonprofit sector? Or are we willing to become a community that doesn't take care of its own? Butler said. Rochester Educator launches literacy nonprofit to strengthen family engagement by Velvet Spicer for Lulu Public Relations. Rochester native and longtime educator Cleonda Florence has spent her life immersed in activism, service, and the belief that literacy is the foundation of liberation. Now she's channeling that legacy into a Let's Get LIT, a growing nonprofit designed to strengthen family literacy, empower parents, and improve academic outcomes for children across Monroe County. Florence, the granddaughter of the late civil rights leader Minister Franklin Florence, was raised attending marches, community meetings, and church-based outreach programs, experiences that shaped her understanding of advocacy and fueled her passion for education. After earning a bachelor's degree in psychology from Bennett College and launching her teaching career in 2004, she held positions in Rochester and Buffalo at both charter schools and suburban districts. Across those environments, she noticed the same problem again and again. Parents were ostracized, she said. They felt talked at instead of talked with. They wanted to be involved, but the system didn't make room for them. That realization and the consistent struggles she witnessed among African American boys in math and ELA sparked the beginnings of Let's Get LIT. Florence first explored the idea as part of her doctoral work, writing about, quote, liberating emancipatory pedagogy, unquote, and its potential to change outcomes for young men. An advisor encouraged her to turn the concept into a program. She launched a podcast with Rochester radio station WDKX, followed by a pilot summer literacy program. The nonprofit became a 501c3 in May 2024. Despite its growth, Let's Get LIT remains a lean operation. Florence is currently the organization's only full-time staff member, supported by seasonal educators, tutors, and volunteers hired through W-9 contracts, a model she chose intentionally. As a former classroom teacher, I know educators are not valued financially the way they should be, she said. I want people to be paid fairly for what they give. Today, Let's Get LIT offers a range of programming centered on family engagement and literacy as a lifelong skill. Its 4-week summer family literacy program has become a cornerstone initiative, pairing culturally responsive reading and writing with parent involvement and community building. This fall, Florence added a Male Mentors of Valor program, serving 12 young men, and she is working to launch family-based tutoring with local education leaders. Let's Get LIT looks to help shift the culture and climate of schools to be more welcoming, Florence said. It looks to empower parents and grandparents to understand their role. At a signature annual event, the Community Give Back at Nativity Preparatory Academy brings together local businesses, food vendors, health organizations, and families for activities designed to show that literacy exists everywhere, not just in books. Florence purchases more than $4,000 in books each year to help families build home libraries. She's also developing plans for a family book club, financial literacy programming, aquatic literacy, and additional after-school supports. But expanding these efforts comes with challenges familiar to most nonprofits. Funding remains the biggest hurdle, she said. You want engagement to be consistent, not stop and start. A turning point came with Let's Get LIT's new collaboration with Sabron O. Johnson, CEO of Edsceptional, along with growing ties to the Education Trust. Florence said the partnership has stretched her thinking and created opportunities for broader countywide impact. The shared goal, to reframe literacy as a community responsibility and disrupt what Florence describes as alarming data. According to reports she cites, only 11% of Rochester third graders are reading at a grade level. Just 2-4% of eighth graders demonstrate literacy in math. More than half of adults read at a sixth grade level. If we're not free in reading, writing, speaking, and having a signature, what do we really have, she says. Books are the passports we don't use. Literacy is everywhere, all the time. What drives her most, she said, is watching families, educators, and children transform, moving from discouragement to confidence. They've come in heavy with what they've been told they can't do, Florence said. Then they experience an LIT moment, and everything shifts. That transformation, that's what excites me. As she looks ahead, Florence hopes Let's Get LIT will help Rochester shed its negative labels and become a model for community-centered education. Everybody needs everyone, she said. Together we can change their narrative of our city and build something powerful for generations. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Rochester Business Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Abandoned Canandaigua Factory is latest 43 North Reclamation Project by Kevin Oklobsija. When Joel Barrett looks at a neglected, dilapidated, historic building, he doesn't see weather-worn bricks, broken windows, or rotting timber. He sees the past reborn. He sees a repurposing of what once was. He sees a structure from a bygone era brought back to life. That's why the former Labellan Factory at 10 Chapin Street in Canandaigua, built in 1925, is the latest adaptive reuse project undertaken by Barrett's firm, 43 North Real Estate. Over the next 12 to 18 months, the four-story, 80,400-square-foot building just off of Main Street will be transformed into Hunter House, an 81-unit market-rate apartment community. In bringing to fruition a project abandoned by at least two other developers, 43 North will eliminate a downtown eyesore and provide additional housing opportunities in the heart of Ontario County. We've had a blighted building right in the middle of downtown, right next to City Hall, so it's great to see this happen, said Richard Brown, Director of Development and Planning for the City of Canandaigua. Said Barrett, we're generally fixing some pretty big problems for municipalities. His development firm, along with its own construction arm, Base Build, refurbished the former home of Hebbard Marble Works and the V.H. Lang Trophy Co. at 222 South Ave in Rochester into a mixed-use residential and office property. They also turned the well-worn former City Hall building at 30 West Broad Street into the Rockford, an upscale residential and office building. The ideal building for 43 North would be around 50,000 square feet, be eligible for historic tax credits, be in fairly poor condition, quote, so I can afford to buy it, unquote, have plenty of parking and great walkability. There's not too many of those that are available anywhere, he said. The LaBelle building is much larger than his target property, but still checks the rest of those boxes. While official groundbreaking took place last month, Barrett began work on the project nearly 4 years ago, from early design plans and applying for historic tax credits to negotiating a purchase price and finally closing on the purchase. Through it all, 9 different attorneys were involved. The total cost of the project will be around $21 million, with $6.68 million in federal and state tax credit syndication, lowering the necessary developer equity. I don't know if we could do a project without tax credits, Barrett said. That's not money that goes into our pocket. It's money that makes the project zero out. Without them, the total hard and soft costs would exceed the project value, and a bank would not approve the project. Other developers interested in the LaBelle building found that out. We've had a lot of developers look at it and walk away because they couldn't make the numbers work, Brown said. Costs have only gone up since then, but Joel was very persistent. Over the past decade, since defunct DHD Ventures of Rochester and Severino Properties of Buffalo took a swing at recreation of the property, even completing an environmental remediation work, but their plans were derailed in part by project costs and in part by other issues impacting those firms. Still, Barrett said that preliminary work by his development predecessors has made his project move along a little more smoothly. There were some definite benefits to jumping in now, he said. A lot of soft costs were absorbed by others. There was existing architecture, there was site plan approval, there was a lot of value created already. That also made it a smoother approval process with the city. We've basically been looking for the same floor plan since 2005, Brown said. The room count has changed as some of the other components have been different, but it's essentially the same plan that was approved again and again. Hanlon Architects did the design for Hunter House, while Barrow Architecture served as historic advisor. The special touches 43 North has become known for will be prominent. Our work is unique, Barrett said. Number one, I think the quality is pretty awesome and special, and our interior design is really cool. The building will include several common areas, including a fitness facility, game room, and storage areas. I tried to identify the things people have loved about all our properties and put them all into one, Barrett said. He had a lot of help, too, praising the work of the team at 43 North that includes project executive Eric Roosevelt, project manager Lily Lovelace, controller Karen Tejan, finance manager Eric Boncione, and leasing manager Julia Hernandez. But how did the idea for the name Hunter House come about? Barrett said that he had spoken to John Swan, hiring manager for the Swan family of restaurants in Rochester, about naming a business. Swan told him they sometimes use the names of family members or family pets. So when speaking with our branding team, I threw out the name of my childhood dog, Hunter, and it stuck, Barrett said. City officials are just glad a blighted structure is being transformed. It'll be great to be able to look out of City Hall and not see a boarded-up building, Brown said. Barrett's firm has plenty of projects in the pipeline, too. 43 North will soon begin the rehabilitation of the former Stewart Title Building at 47 West Main Street in downtown Rochester. The building will be home to 23 residential units, along with 4,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor. The firm will also be converting the property at 148 Main Street in Pan Yan into apartments. A little laugh, a big lift. How levity at work can grow revenue. Leading with Levity by David Mamano. When a team meeting begins with a short, genuine laugh, it may feel like a trivial moment, but mounting research suggests those moments of levity do far more than brighten a Monday. They measurably improve engagement, creativity, and performance, which are the exact levers that push revenue upward. The line from humor to the bottom line runs through well-studied business dynamics. Gallup's extensive research shows that companies with highly engaged employees outperform their less engaged counterparts across multiple business metrics. Teams with high engagement show meaningfully higher productivity, stronger customer loyalty, and greater profitability. These gains are not soft estimates. Gallup has long noted that business units with top quartile engagement achieve significantly higher profitability than those at the bottom. Engagement has quietly become one of the most powerful predictors of financial performance. The economic implications are large. Gallup has estimated that declines in global employee engagement cost the world economy enormous amounts of money each year. In other words, engagement is not just an HR initiative. It's an economic force with measurable financial consequences. What does this have to do with levity? As it turns out, humor and lightness directly support the core psychological conditions that make engagement possible. Positive affect, the emotional state that levity helps create, has been repeatedly shown to boost creative thinking and problem solving. The work of creativity researchers such as Tessa Amabile demonstrates that when employees experience positive mood states, they generate more original ideas and produce better quality creative output. Creativity is not just for artists. It can lead to new products, streamlined processes, better customer service, and breakthroughs that differentiate companies in the competitive markets. Levity also plays a powerful role in building psychological safety, a team climate where people feel comfortable taking interpersonal risks. Psychological safety is essential for innovation and high performance. Studies led by researchers such as Amy Edmondson show that psychologically safe teams are more willing to raise tough questions, admit mistakes, and offer bold ideas. Humor helps lower social batteries by easing status tensions, making leaders feel more approachable, and encouraging employees to speak more freely. When people feel safe to contribute, organizations learn faster and adapt more effectively. Those capabilities directly influence revenue growth. Real-world experiments support this connection. Organizations that intentionally incorporate small moments of humor into meetings often see immediate benefits. Employees report improved mood, increased focus, and stronger feelings of connection to their teams. These shifts may seem small, but they accumulate over time. Better communication leads to fewer errors. Better collaboration helps teams solve problems faster. Better morale improves customer interactions. All of this contributes to healthier revenue performance. The connection becomes even clearer when observing the practical effects of levity on everyday business operations. Revenue grows when teams innovate more effectively, retain talent longer, serve customers better, and execute with fewer mistakes. Levity contributes to each of these outcomes by improving the way people think and interact. A team that enjoys working together simply performs better. Of course, effective levity is intentional. This is not an argument for turning the office into a comedy club. Humor at work must be inclusive and skillful. The most effective humor is the type that builds connection rather than targeting individuals. Misused humor can create discomfort or undermine trust. The evidence consistently shows that appropriate, well-placed levity strengthens culture, while negative or divisive humor hurts it. The goal is not non-stop joking, but a consistent atmosphere of lightness that reduces tension and brings people closer. Organizations that see memorable returns from workplace levity tend to follow a few common practices. Leaders set the tone by showing that humor and high performance can coexist. When executives model warmth, lightness, and humanity, employees feel safer speaking up. Teams often begin meetings with short rituals that spark connection, such as sharing something good from the week or a quick, appropriate, funny clip tied to the meeting theme. These small moments shift the emotional climate and prepare the mind for better thinking. Smart organizations also train leaders on how to use humor effectively. This helps establish clear norms and prevents misunderstandings. Levity should always unite, never divide. When used with intention and emotional intelligence, humor becomes a leadership skill that fosters belonging. Measurement matters too. Companies committed to cultural levity track engagement scores, retention, productivity, and customer satisfaction. Over time, they see patterns. When teams feel more connected and psychologically safe, their performance metrics improve. Better performance is eventually reflected in stronger revenue numbers. There are, of course, limits. Humor alone will not save a failing strategy or compensate for dysfunctional leadership, but it is one of the most cost-effective cultural levers available. Levity enhances the impact of investments in training, process empowerment, and leadership development by making people more receptive and more resilient. It multiplies the value of the work organizations are already doing. For leaders carefully scanning their financial statements, the reasoning is compelling. Even small increases in engagement, creativity, and collaboration can translate into meaningful improvements in productivity and revenue. If levity helps unlock these gains, it becomes a business strategy, not a perk. The conclusion is straightforward. Laughter at work is not frivolous, it is functional. It creates the cognitive conditions for better ideas and clearer thinking. It strengthens the social fabric that allows teams to operate at high speed. It improves communication, reduces stress, and encourages people to bring their full selves to work. When these conditions are present, organizations move faster, innovate more, and serve customers better. That is the foundation of revenue growth. A workplace with levity is not less professional, it's more powerful. It is a place where people feel energized instead of drained, engaged instead of indifferent, committed instead of passive. In a competitive business landscape where talent, creativity, and innovation define winners, levity may be one of the most underrated strategic advantages a company can cultivate. In the end, the data points to a simple truth. A little laughter makes work better, and when work gets better, business gets better too. David Mamano is an entrepreneur and workplace optimist who teaches leaders how to lighten up without losing their edge. He is known for blending compassion with just the right amount of crazy. Evaluating pharmacy benefits helps employers manage rising health insurance costs. Coverage and Care by Paul Valley. Rising costs and the growing demands for healthcare are challenging patients, doctors, businesses, health insurers, and the entire healthcare system. These trends are causing higher premiums and higher out-of-pocket costs for consumers nationwide. The use of medical services is up, more people are receiving expensive treatments, and an exponential growth in the use of costly medications like GLP-1s are leading contributors to these ballooning costs. Rising medical costs lead to increased health insurance premiums since most premium dollars go directly to pay for member care. With many businesses covering at least a portion of the cost of their employees' health coverage, they're bearing the brunt of these increases. With approximately 154 million Americans under the age of 65 relying on employer-sponsored coverage, the cost of health and wellness benefits is a critical budgetary consideration for business leaders in our region. In this environment, offering comprehensive benefits while managing costs is no small feat. One of the most effective strategies for achieving this balance lies in reevaluating pharmacy benefit programs. There are several ways employers can help members access the medications they need while finding cost savings through pharmacy benefits, but it's important to first understand the environment. When I started in this business, the pharmacy landscape was drastically different. Pharmacy benefits offered by employer-sponsored health plans included relatively simple coverage. Often, plans focused on generic and brand-name drugs with tiered copays that encouraged the use of medications that work just as well but cost less. The goal was the same as it is today: broad access and affordability. At that time, the goal was easier to achieve, as prescription costs were a much smaller share of overall healthcare spending. High-cost specialty medications were rare, and benefit design was straightforward. The pharmacy benefits landscape has changed drastically since then. There are new market and regulatory pressures. In 2024, overall, prescription expenditures in the U.S. grew to $805.9 billion, an increase of 10.2% over the previous year, according to analysis conducted by the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. This increase was largely driven by increased demand for GLP-1 weight loss drugs, inflation, and ongoing supply chain disruptions. Additionally, more people are taking more medications. We also have innovative new therapies for previously untreatable conditions. Last year, for example, a potentially life-saving gene therapy cost around $2.5 million. These medications are transforming lives, but they also contribute to rising costs. Meanwhile, the proposed state and federal reforms are pushing for greater pricing transparency and the expansion of direct-to-consumer access to medications. In this dynamic environment, pharmacy benefits can no longer be treated as a passive component of health plans. Employers must take a proactive approach to ensure their benefits are supportive of employee health and cost-effective. Pharmacy benefit management represents a strategic lever for improving employee well-being and managing overall healthcare costs. Unlocking cost savings through smarter pharmacy strategies.
For employers, the shifting landscape presents many opportunities, from using technology to synthesize data, to greater collaboration between players and providers, to considering where medications are administered. There are several solutions to managing these rising costs. Medication access and cost management. Health insurers are now integrating medical and pharmacy data to ensure access to quality medications while controlling costs. This data helps insurers collaborate with prescribers and their patients to make informed decisions about medications that are equally effective at treating their conditions at a lower price. The drug pipeline is robust. It is anticipated that 75% of new drugs in development are specialty, and utilization of these medications is rising across both pharmacy and medical benefits. By 2026, without any changes, specialty drugs are expected to account for approximately half of all drug spending at our organization. Biologics are often used to treat complex conditions such as cancer, multiple sclerosis, and autoimmune disorders. These drugs can alter the course of a disease in a positive way for patients, but they also carry exceptionally high costs. The use of biosimilars instead of biologics, a subset of specialty medication, represents one of the biggest opportunities to improve medication access and affordability. Biosimilars are available both in the medical and pharmacy drug space, are FDA approved to treat most of the same conditions as the biologic in their drug category, and can cost as much as 85% less. Employers can ask their health insurance carrier or broker to assist them in educating their employees about these opportunities. Site of care. Insurers can also help doctors and members identify more cost-effective options for where and how medications are administered. Site of care programs provide cost savings by transitioning members from receiving their treatment at a hospital-based infusion center to having it administered in a lower-cost facility or in the member's home. With Excellus BCBS's site of care program, for example, if a member is receiving certain infusion drugs, one of our care coordinators will call the member and provider to discuss the convenience of having their drug therapy administered at home. Medication adherence. Taking medications correctly is one of the most effective ways to improve health outcomes and reduce avoidable medical costs. Missed doses or drug interactions can lead to hospital visits and complications, making adherence a growing priority. Employers can play an important role by encouraging preventative care and supporting employees in taking their medications as prescribed. These efforts ensure people remain healthier, more productive, and more supported in their daily lives. For more information, visit www.excellusbcbs.com/health-wellness/preventative-health/take-as-directed. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Rochester Business Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Continuing the coverage and care article by Paul Valley. Home delivery and mail order prescriptions. Convenience can also mean cost savings, especially when it leads to better health outcomes. Home delivery of prescriptions offers reliability and potential cost savings, particularly for maintenance medications. Ordering a 90-day supply can reduce costs, minimize trips to the pharmacy, and make it easier to take your medication as directed. Excellus BCBS partners with prescription delivery services to provide timely access to prescriptions, improve adherence, and offer peace of mind. Employers benefit from healthier, more engaged teams. Three actions employers can take today. Employers play a pivotal role in shaping pharmacy benefit strategies. Here are three actionable steps you can employ at your organization today to help improve care while also finding cost savings. First, review your current pharmacy benefit structure. Assess your plan design, list of covered drugs, formulary, and pharmacy trends to identify opportunities for improvement. Next, partner with your carrier and broker. You don't have to bear the burden of rising costs of healthcare alone. Collaborate with the experts at your insurance carrier or broker to implement programs such as site of care, prescription home delivery, and pharmacy data analysis. Finally, educate employees about ways they can stay healthier and save money. Providing clear communication about formulary changes, cost-saving options, and available resources helps to empower employees to make informed decisions about their medications. Looking ahead, pharmacy benefits are a dynamic and increasingly critical component of employer-sponsored health plans. The future of these benefits will continue to balance access to quality care, affordability, and safety. Specialty drugs, home delivery, federal and state policy changes, and smarter cost management are shaping what comes next. Employers who engage with insurance carriers and brokers, leverage innovative solutions, and educate their workforce can turn these challenges into opportunities for improved health outcomes and cost containment. The pharmacy landscape will continue to evolve, bringing both complexity and promise. By staying informed and collaborative, employers can ensure their pharmacy benefits strategy delivers value for both their organization and their employees. Paul Valley is Senior Vice President, Commercial Group Markets, Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield. Local banks combine digital tools and high-touch service to serve business owners. By Corey Putnam. As business owners across Greater Rochester move faster and rely more on digital tools, local banks are reshaping how they serve them. Leaders from six regional institutions say business clients now expect seamless online capabilities paired with knowledgeable in-person support. Their insights show how banks are modernizing both branches and technology to deliver a more efficient, relationship-driven business banking experience. Today's business clients want speed, clarity, and a real relationship with their bank. When it comes to online services, they're looking for convenience and efficiency, said Warren Miller, business banking officer at NBT Bank. They expect a smooth, easy-to-use platform where they can move money, approve wires, deposit checks, and see cash flow in real time. Miller says that when business owners come into a branch, they aren't looking simply for transactions, but expertise. They want someone who understands their industry and talks to them like a partner, somebody who can provide advice on a big financial decision or help with real-time problem-solving, especially when something goes wrong with fraud, he says. He believes the physical branch experience matters more for business clients than anybody else for a few reasons, including relationships. Relationships are critical, Miller said. When a business owner or manager knows their banker and their banker knows their business, that's how we can quickly pivot and solve unique challenges. Also, he has found that discussions about complex topics like financing options, growth planning, entity structure, and cash flow are easier face-to-face, and that for cash-heavy businesses, in-branch activity remains necessary for deposits, coin orders, change, and notary services, just to name a few. Miller connects his customers with digital tools supported by human service and ensures they get the most out of NBT's online platform, while also being the person they feel comfortable calling when they need real guidance. Calling that blend is something business owners appreciate. Jameson Flora, business banking manager at Community Bank, says that what business clients are looking for in their bank of choice today can differ based on markets, type of business, size of business, and more. But a commonality he's seen is the desire for advice. So we're making sure our commercial bankers are equipped to give advice to their business clients, Flora said. At the same time, we're partnering with a fintech that will offer cash flow insights and virtual CFO type advice to the really small business customer, because the really small business customer is everything in their business, from bookkeeper to marketing team. Flora says that when it comes to the physical branch location, some business owners may never walk in, but it's important and comforting to them to know that the branch is there. Survey after survey will tell you more and more small businesses are open to digital-only banking. But when you really dig into the numbers, that need for physical presence still shows up in those surveys, he said. They may never walk in, but digital-only can be a bit scary when you need advice. Flora reiterates that the needs of businesses are wildly different, and understanding how to walk with them when they're really small and run with them as they grow and into larger companies is where loyalty and advice matter. He notes that part of Community Bank's own growth strategy, they align market decisions on where the bulk of businesses are, looking at locations that reuse space, grow a community, reinvigorate an area, and serve a population that has a financial desert, for example. Along with the bank's physical footprint, giving to organizations in the neighborhood that serve those customers, personal and business alike, is important, Flora said. Our business clients want to support organizations in their communities, and in fact, in 2025, we donated close to $4 million in philanthropic support, and our teammates gave over 20,000 volunteer hours, he said. So, this is a specific differentiator for us in terms of bringing impact to our clients. Tom Rogers, Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, ESL Federal Credit Union, says that whether it's in a branch or online, today's business members expect efficiency and regular open communication from their banking partner. Businesses want to have confidence in their financial institution's capabilities to handle their business's unique needs, Roger said. They expect their banking partner to inform them of any changes that could impact their business, especially when they have so many other responsibilities. Small businesses are a key component of ESL's portfolio, and many interact via a blend of experience built on positive experiences and educational opportunities across both digital and branch channels. Physical branches serve as a significant resource for small business members who are just getting started on their business journey, or have banking business they need or prefer to conduct in person, Rogers said. They also provide an opportunity for businesses to talk with a team member about more complex needs. Rogers explained that ESL's local branches are intended to complement its digital services and provide a community presence that helps build trust and an opportunity to connect at a personal level. It's important to care about the people connected to a business, he said. This includes the people who manage the business, the people they employ, and the population they serve. Once you build a relationship with people, everything else becomes easier. Rogers said many business relationships are built between transactions, that the conversations that take place outside of transactions, whether on the phone, during a visit, or a social setting, help give context to the dynamics of a business and how it best achieves its goals. When you know more about the business and the people behind it, it allows everyone involved in the success of that business to be more adept at managing through change, he says. Rogers is excited about the improved access to affordable banking services for city residents and businesses with ESL's recent opening of the Bull's Head office in the city of Rochester. He also looks forward to early 2026 when ESL will finalize the asset acquisition of Generations Bank, which expands branch access to communities across Seneca, Cayuga, Ontario, and Orleans counties. Katie Gross, retail regional manager at Canandaigua National Bank, says banks today play a different role for their business clients than they did just a decade ago. Business clients want to do business when it makes sense for them, said Gross, noting business owners have intense demands and a limited amount of time to get everything done. They're looking for a strategic partner in their banker, someone who has knowledge and expertise to help them and is also innovative and proactive. Terry Kelly, Vice President, Business Banking Officer at Canandaigua National Bank, adds that more than ever, business owners want their banks to anticipate their needs, both in the realm of digital banking and in person, and have an expectation of seamless movement between both. This is my 31st year in banking, and the expectations of business owners have grown, but it's very rewarding to walk with them, Kelly said. Our model is so simple. Take care of customers and do the right thing for our customers. Gross said Canandaigua National Bank is constantly looking at the services provided for business customers, both digitally and in person, and continues to place a premium on the importance of advertising, education, and communication. The bank is excited about its recent ongoing expansion into Syracuse with 4 new branches. We will always value high touch, Gross said. It's really important to our customers, even those who enjoy our digital services, that we continue to value and prioritize high-touch banking. Philip L. Pecora, President and CEO of Genesee Regional Bank, GRB, believes business clients today expect a relationship with a banking partner who understands their business and can respond quickly when opportunities or challenges arise. At GRB, our approach is centered on developing trusted personal relationships with our clients, and we leverage technology to satisfy their routine transactional banking needs, said Bakora, who stresses that a capable technology platform is table stakes for banks today. The differentiation that business clients seek, he said, is the personal relationship with access to knowledgeable professionals who understand their business, provide strategic insights, and recommend the right banking solutions. Mostly driven by business relationships, GRB has grown to over $1.2 billion in assets over the past 30 years, with a very limited branch infrastructure. The bank has 3 retail branch locations, however. The majority of clients' transactions are handled over the phone with the bank's commercial relationship associates, or online through its treasury management system. Again, commercial banking is about relationships, not bricks and mortar, Pecora said. Today, technology has replaced most traditional functions of a physical branch, other than cash transactions. As technology continues to advance and clients become increasingly comfortable with utilizing it, in my opinion, branches are becoming less and less relevant. Pecora sees fraud as one of the biggest threats facing businesses today, and in response, the bank continues to upgrade its technology infrastructure related to the expansion of fraud prevention capabilities. These solutions help businesses safeguard against a myriad of fraud approaches, Pecora said. Solutions such as positive pay, biometric identification, and multi-factor authentication provide necessary safeguards that complement our relationship managers' intimate knowledge and understanding of our clients. Corey Patanella, Business Banking Senior Relationship Manager at Bank of America Rochester, says today's business clients expect seamless high-tech and high-touch banking and lending experience across every channel. They include mobile, online, and in-person. They want the flexibility to manage finances anytime, anywhere, whether through our mobile platform, digital tools like CashPro, or by connecting with specialists in person at our financial center, he said. These specialists are always available to provide expert advice and guidance. As their own customers shift toward digital transactions, more business clients also expect support for modern payment solutions. The increasing adoption of digital payments is one of the reasons that Bank of America is investing so heavily in the technology that supports this important payment ecosystem, said Patanella. He adds that the bank spends $13 billion annually on technology, of which nearly $4 billion has been allocated to new technology initiatives in 2025. These ongoing investments continue to enhance the client experience across all channels and drive operational efficiencies across the company, he said. Bank of America also continues to invest in physical branch locations, aka financial centers, in Rochester and beyond. Just a few weeks ago, we opened up a new financial center on Mount Hope. As we keep making significant investments on our financial center network, which includes exterior and interior renovations in our centers, he said. Between this year and 2027, we're investing more than $11.4 million in the financial center network. In today's ever-increasing digital world, Patanella says the bank's financial centers add value by providing personalized and expert advice. While digital platforms allow business clients to transact and manage finances on the go, the financial centers are where they can go to have strategic conversations around growth, cash flow, financing, or restructuring, get specialized guidance on complex solutions like lending, payments, workplace benefits, and build relationships with bankers who understand their long-term goals, Patanella said. Corey Putnam is a Rochester area freelance writer. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the Rochester Business Journal on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Map your retirement years. Navigate the go-go, slow-go, and no-go phases. Private Banking by Vince Lecce and Jody Watson. Retirement often consists of three phases with a different desired lifestyle for each. The go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. We don't know exactly how long each of these phases will last, but planning for retirement should factor in the spending needed to support your desired lifestyle at each phase. Once you see the connection between your spending priorities and the future growth of your estate, you can see what you may have left at the end of your projected lifetime and make informed wealth transfer decisions. This article discusses the spending considerations during these phases. Then, we will look at how your spending priorities affect your estate and how you can align any potential excess assets with an aspirational and legacy planning goals without disrupting your retirement needs. The go-go years. The go-go years are often the first 10 years or so of retirement. You finally have the time and freedom to tackle many of the pursuits you didn't necessarily have time for while raising a family, building your business, or advancing towards your career goals. Generally, during the go-go years, you're in good health and have lots of energy to tackle the newfound freedom that comes with turning the page to a long-anticipated retirement date. You worked hard and have stable finances that you may not have experienced when you were younger. During these years, your dreams may be filled with hobbies, travel, volunteering, leisure, and active adventures, and family. When creating a budget for this period of life, you need to factor in the additional costs that accompany heightened travel and leisure goals. The slow-go years. As you age and enter the slow-go years, your body and mind slow down. You may not be able to keep up the same pace that you did earlier in retirement. You may be content to spend more time with loved ones than picking up a new sport. You may trade in international travel for more modest activities and fun closer to home. You may become more engaged with those around you in new activities. During this time, you may naturally start to spend less money due to your change in pace and chosen activities. The no-go years. Retirees today are living longer and having more active retirement than ever. The no-go years of retirement will depend on your level of health as you age, but you'll see another slowdown during this phase. Some can age in place, and others will need additional help. Budgeting for healthcare costs and planning appropriately is critical at this phase. Spending during the three phases of retirement. Planning for retirement should factor in the spending you need to support your desired lifestyle at each phase of retirement. Assessment of spending rates is often overlooked in planning. Failure to align spending rates with your changing goals can lead to decisions that don't align with your financial reality. In addition, when wealthy families, and subsequently their advisors, don't understand their evolving annual spending needs, important wealth planning opportunities can be overlooked. Here are some steps to better understand how much you anticipate spending. Regularly review your budget and expenses and discuss with your advisor. Review fixed and discretionary expenses and identify upcoming major expenditures, such as property purchases or investments. Regular review of this information will give the advisor a clear picture of your cash flow and allow them to plan for these liquidity events in a tax-efficient manner. Fixed income sources like Social Security and pensions will meet some of these needs. Some likely will need to come from investment assets, whether those are retirement assets by way of required minimum distributions, RMDs, or additional distributions, taxable assets, or some combination. Be prepared to adjust as circumstances and needs change. Maintain an open line of communication with your advisor as your cash flow needs change or major expenses arise. As your phase of retirement changes, the cash flow you need will likely change as well. Finally, use cash flow conversations with your advisor to facilitate estate and tax planning. Where can we go from here? With a clear understanding and incorporation of spending priorities, advisors for high net worth and ultra high net worth families can help them take advantage of planning opportunities in an active manner. Understanding spending and impact on future wealth transfer. There's a clear connection between your spending rate and the growth of your estate. By understanding your spending needs and using current assumptions for growth and inflation, your advisors can project your wealth values into the future and to the end of your projected lifetime. This information can be used to carve out funds that are never likely to be spent in your lifetime and align these assets with aspirational and legacy planning goals in a proactive and efficient manner without disrupting your needs. This is essential in long-term tax and estate planning. Often, a more meaningful projection includes how much you can give while you're living, so you can enjoy and experience the benefits of giving family and causes important to you. Maximize current living gifts. You can make significant gifts now and take advantage of higher gift tax exemptions. This way, you're taking advantage of both the annual gift tax exemption and the lifetime gift tax exemption. Some examples. Outright gifts. In 2025, the annual gift tax limit is $19,000, $38,000 for married couples. Gifts can be given to as many individuals as you wish. If you stay under that limit, you won't pay any gift tax or use up any of your lifetime exemption. Larger gifts would be counted towards your lifetime exemption. Gifts in trust. These gifts can provide guardrails for your heirs by creating a disciplined approach for using these funds. Additionally, they provide protection from divorce or creditors. An irrevocable gift and its growth would be removed from your taxable estate. Gifts to an irrevocable life insurance trust, ILIT. This type of trust holds life insurance outside your estate. It is generally funded by annual gifts. An ILIT provides liquidity to your heirs and helps avoid a forced liquidation of assets while minimizing gift and estate taxes. Gifts to a Spousal Lifetime Access Trust, SLAT. An SLAT is an irrevocable trust to benefit your spouse and your children that is funded during your lifetime. When assets are gifted to an SLAT, the gift and any future appreciation on such assets are removed from your taxable estate and your spouse's taxable estate. Be strategic about charitable intentions. If you'd like to give to your favorite cause while you can see the money put to good use, discuss with your advisor how to maximize your gift to align with your specific plan. Use qualified charitable distributions, or QCDs, for charitable gifts. If you're older than 70 and a half, this satisfies your RMD, and you do not include the distribution. up to $108,000 in 2025 as income. Fund a donor-advised fund with appreciated stock. You can transfer assets to the fund to benefit your chosen charities and receive an immediate charitable deduction subject to AGI limitations. You have the flexibility to choose the timing of the grants and which charities will receive funds. Set up a private family foundation. A foundation allows wealthy families to achieve their philanthropic goals in a tax-efficient manner, offering income and estate tax savings, while engaging their family members in the process. A foundation can last for future generations, promoting a legacy of philanthropy. Make Roth conversions. This can be effective if you feel that your tax rate may stay the same or increase in the future because of large required minimum distributions on supersized retirement accounts. You may not need the amount converted, and this can leave an income tax-free bucket of money for your heirs for a gift and estate planning purposes. This may mean higher taxes today, but in a rising tax environment, lower overall taxes for you in the future and none to your heirs when they inherit your Roth. Fund education for children or grandchildren. Front-load or superfund 529 plans. Current rules allow married couples to contribute $190,000 or $95,000 per individual, but it is treated as though these gifts were spread over 5 years. If your grandchildren are already entering school, you may pay tuition directly to the college. Tuition payments made directly to the college aren't considered taxable gifts regardless of the size of the payment. Payments can only be made for tuition. Housing, food, books, and fees do not qualify. This method still frees you up to give your grandchild a separate tax-free gift for the year, up to the $19,000 limit, or $38,000 for couples. Final thoughts. It's important to understand your spending needs and goals, now and in the future, to plan for a successful retirement. This awareness allows you and your financial advisor to create a roadmap that navigates the different phases of retirement, go-go, slow-go, and no-go, and ensures a smooth transition into wealth transfer. By understanding your spending habits and how they affect your estate, you can maximize your legacy, optimize tax efficiency, and prepare for the future, all while enjoying your life today. Vince Lachey, CIMA-CWS, is KeyBank Rochester Market President and Team Leader for Key Private Bank in Rochester. He can be reached at 585-238-4107 or Vincent_L_Lachey@KeyBank.com. Jody Watson, CFP-CPWA, is a Senior Wealth Planner for Key Private Bank. She can be reached at 207-874-7128 or Jody_U_Watson@KeyBank. The Key Wealth Institute is comprised of financial professional planning, professionals representing KeyBank National Association, KeyBank, and certain affiliates such as Key Investment Services LLC, or KIS, and Key Core Insurance Agency USA Incorporated, KIA. Key Wealth, Key Private Bank, Key Family Wealth, Key Bank Institutional Advisors, and Key Private Client are marketing names for Key Bank National Association, Key Bank, and certain affiliates such as Key Investment Services LLC, KIS, and Key Core Insurance Agency USA Inc., KIA. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the December 5th issue of the Rochester Business Journal. Your reader has been Randy Silva. Thank you for listening.